Welcome back to the On the Brink podcast. Today's episode is a little different. I have two guests, one with me in person, Ava, my roommate, who you guys might recognize from two previous episodes, and someone else, and her name is Teresa. And I actually don't know Teresa as well as I know Ava. And Teresa is somebody that we have this crazy circumstance that happened. And without getting into it too much, the gist is that I found her at the time boyfriend on Tinder when I was in Illinois visiting for a brief time. And we're going to go into that. And basically, this episode is all about women supporting women, people supporting people, not even just women. And kind of going over maybe some red flags in relationships, maybe a little bit about what gaslighting looks like. I mean, we're going to cover a lot of things about relationships, specifically pertaining to Teresa and Ava's relationships. So I'm really excited to bring Teresa on the pod, and I think it's going to be a really crazy episode. So welcome to the podcast, Teresa.
Thank you. I'm very excited. It's my first podcast that I'm doing. So I'm Teresa. I am going to be 25 in a month. I am a elementary school teacher in the Chicago suburbs. And I know Emily from high school, just a little bit.
We didn't know of each other, but we weren't close friends. We didn't run in the same circles. I think you're a year younger than me.
Yeah.
So we kind of like, I think you did music.
Yes.
So we ran in like that same circle, but not really like friend wise. And so it was just crazy circumstance that I ended up like finding your at the time boyfriend on Tinder, and we can just kind of dive right in. Oh, well, I should introduce Ava.
Okay. So listen, the only reason I'm here is because Emily did the same for me at a different time. Very, very quickly before this happened for her and Teresa, Emily exposed my ex-boyfriend for being on Tinder and being unfaithful. And we've previously, like, talked a little bit about that in a different episode. But because it was just so similar of a situation, we all three of us thought it would be fun to talk about this topic together. So that's why I'm here. But anyway, Teresa.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the whole thing was crazy. Like me finding your at the time boyfriend on Tinder was terrible. That was in September of 2019, I think. And then I found Teresa's ex in January of 2020.
Yeah.
So just a little over a year ago. So the timeline, just so you all have a little bit of a timeline, those are the dates. Now, diving into Teresa's situation first, and there are a lot of overlaps, which is why it's really important that Ava's here, because there are a lot of similarities. And we just chatted about this. We're not just like blindly going into this episode. We've talked about the similarities between your two situations, and I'm just kind of the like bystander, sort of the person that like discovered it, but I'm not the one who's in it. So they'll have a very different perspective from me, obviously. But I kind of want to dive into Teresa's situation first and give my listeners a little background of what happened. I thought it was absolutely crazy. Looking back now, like I'm so happy I did what I did, but I had a lot of doubts. So this is what happened. I was home visiting Chicago because I was still living in Massachusetts. Obviously, that's where I am now. And I was home visiting for like 2 days in the middle of a week, randomly for a funeral. And I realized that my Tinder account was active and it was like picking up Chicago men. And I was only home for 2 days. I did not need to be actively on Tinder in Chicago. So I went to go turn off. You can like pause your account. So I went to go like pause my account But my Tinder had already started picking up Chicago people. So I was like, well, might as well swipe for a minute. Might as well just see what I have.
Listen, we've all been there.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Why not? Like, it was a whole new pool of people. It's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. So I ended up swiping. Now, literally one of the first people that I was looking at, I recognized his face. And I was like, where do I know this man from? Like, I couldn't pinpoint it at first, but I decided to swipe right on him just to see, like, if we would match. And sure enough, we immediately matched. And I realized I had seen him on Teresa's Instagram feed from a post that she had literally just posted with a picture of the two of them. And I'm pretty sure, like, one of those pictures was, you know, his picture on Tinder, which is why I recognized it.
Oh, yeah. And a picture that I had just taken, like, probably 2 weeks prior.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, anyways, I have a semi-photographic memory for those of you who may not know that about me. I'm not just, like, creepy and I just know everyone's pictures. Like, I do actually have a crazy good memory. And so I immediately put it together. But I didn't know Teresa very well at the time, so I felt like it would have been weird to just, like, reach out to her and say something. Now, if it was, like, a best friend of mine, someone that I knew closely, of course I would immediately be like, hey, like,
I mean, you took very little time to tell me.
And that's so. Right, and we'll get into that. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to tell someone, but, like, with Teresa, I didn't know her. So I was hoping that this man was, like, in an open relationship with you, or you guys were on a break or whatever, but I thought it was funny. I definitely did. And so he, like, takes no time after we match, and he immediately messages me, and it's some, like, flirty message, like, hey, cutie, like, how's it going? Something like that. I decide to play along for a second, and I'm like, hi, like, I'm good. How are you? Just keeping it, you know, simple. And then after a few messages back and forth, I decided to just say, hey, you know, you look really familiar. And I wanted to see what you say. But he was like, oh, really? Huh? Like, from where? And I was like, I think I've seen you on my friend's Instagram page. And I shouldn't have said anything. And because at that point, I didn't have screenshots. I didn't have anything, you know, because I didn't think that he was going to immediately unmatch me, which is what he did. Looking back now, that's pretty much evidence of his guilt in this.
Yes.
If you're that afraid that, you know, I'm going to go reach out to somebody, you, mm-hmm. about this, then, you know, so he didn't want me to be able to screenshot, obviously.
Yeah.
So fast forward, like, a couple days, I really couldn't get this out of my head. I was really concerned about it, and I didn't know what to do. And I was asking my family, who I was staying with, you know, what I should do. And they were kind of torn. They were like, I don't know, maybe just leave it alone. It's not really your business. But, like, some of them were telling me, yeah, like, you should tell her, you know, you don't know, like, if they're actually still in a relationship and he's cheating on her. So I went back and forth, but I couldn't make up my mind. So I flew back to Chicago, like, 2 days, or flew back to Massachusetts 2 days later, got home, immediately went to Ava and said, Ava, help me figure out what to do.
Because she had just done this with me. Like she was like, oh, so this is literally what I just went through. Except for, you know, for Teresa, it was a little bit more, like, insane, because we'll get into it. It was a long relationship, but,
and yeah. That was just a few months prior, right, Ava, for you?
Literally just a matter of September to January. So, so yeah, she was like, I just did this with you. I mean, do I do this with a pretty much complete stranger? And I think our consensus was, well, you, Emily, have very little to lose. You barely know this woman. So she has everything to gain and you have very little to lose from telling her. So just kind of do it. Which, like, if anyone's listening and that you're in this kind of situation, just tell them.
Yes, please. Just tell them. It could be, like, the greatest thing of their life.
So, you know, what I did was I, like, you know, sent this really long message over to Teresa on Instagram, and I didn't want to come off, like, super weird or creepy. You know, we all have that thought. We're like, oh, we don't want to be the, like, weird person, but we never are. You know, it's always, like, the right thing to do, usually. And I'm so glad that I reached out to you because, you know, you didn't doubt it for a second. And you can kind of go into like your reaction to my message.
Yeah. So it goes back, it goes like into a lot of like backstory of like my prior relationship of how there were so many red flags and there were suspicions of cheating several times prior to that. So for me, it was just so cut and dry of Emily saying that and me being like, yeah, that makes complete sense. Like I 100% believe you. I would never doubt that for a second. And then just like talking, I remember I asked Emily a few questions, just like, also I was, there were like so many different emotions. And I remember I like messaged you back and I was like, what was the picture of? Like, can you just let me know so that I can get more angry to make this breakup just a little bit more easier? But it was so easy to just hear what you had to say, called up my ex, and I was so like assertive with it, which typically that's not my, like how I usually am. I'm usually super emotional with relationships, like crying, whether it's like happy or sad or whatever. But like, it was so easy to just be like, these are the facts. This is what happened. I know that you did this. Just like, tell me that you did it. And he immediately confessed to it. And then like, that was it. Like for me, that was completely the end point, like easy, cut and dry ending the relationship. But it was easy, I think, because I had so many suspicions and red flags prior to that. But I never would have, I mean, not never, but like if Emily hadn't done that, I would not have been able to like concretely know, is that a word? Concretely?
Yeah.
Concretely know that like he was in fact cheating. And that is 100% not okay for me in a relationship. So I'm just so incredibly grateful that like that you did that, that someone came out and told me that. Because I like, who knows how long I would have stayed in that relationship.
And that's how we're doing this podcast, because you
yeah.
Emily again, like a year later.
Yeah. Yeah. You randomly sent me another Instagram message. And it was just so nice. I was like, oh, like, I'm so happy, because you said, you know, you're in a different relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just thanked me again, which was so nice. And that was the thing, is like the reaction that Teresa had, like from the get go was, I mean, yeah, you asked me a couple questions, but they weren't like questioning me. They were just,
yeah,
I want to know like more details so mm-hmm. that, you know, and sure enough, you know, one of those pictures was like, I think I thought he was on a motorcycle or something. And
he was on a snowmobile. Like I said, like 2 weeks prior, we were with my family, my whole family, for New Year's snowmobiling. And I took a picture of him and he used that as like his picture on Tinder. And I remember I was asking you questions so that I could use it when I like went to him with the information, so that I would have more like power with that and have more facts.
Right. Right. And that was totally understandable, but you never doubted what I had to say, and you mm-hmm. were very gracious about it and like thanking me. And I was nervous, you know, sending that message. So it made me so happy that like I could make a difference. And also I want to say, like, I don't know, like, how this all happened, because I was home for 2 days in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to turn my Tinder off, or tried to turn it off, but like went swiping. I mean, what if I just went on and hit pause and never saw him?
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it like for me, it was so meant to be, because I like needed to get out of that relationship. And then so many amazing things like happened after that, like meeting my current boyfriend and like just being so incredibly happy. And actually, like, Ava and I were talking about this the other day, but like actually being in a relationship that is healthy and like not doesn't have any drama, and it's just easy. And I never like realized that a relationship could actually be like that.
Yeah. Like experiencing functionality for the first time when you're well past being able to experience a relationship is pretty wild, because you're like, what? I thought I understood and I did not.
Yeah.
You know, stories, especially what you just said with timing, because we say the same thing about mine, where it's like, my situation was person was going away. So like it was so close where it was about to be undetectable that that person was on Tinder, and you found him right before, and it was also right before my life got way better because I was gonna, because that was another thing. I could have definitely been in that one longer. He would have let that go a really long time if that didn't happen.
You were sucked in.
I think both of our ex-boyfriends were very similar people, and they also have the same
name.
They do.
Yes.
Same name.
So this is why we know that we had
to yes. And like weirdly similar, just like attitudes and like personas of how they acted and things that they said to us.
Yeah, we can get into that. I think it's good to go by your story, Teresa, and like I can like jump in because I feel like I listened to the podcast that we previously had and I said a lot about it. So check out that episode if you want to know more about
my story.
That
was a long time ago.
Check out the episode with me and Emily talking about roommates.
It's called Living in Western Massachusetts.
If you want to know more details.
Yeah, on season one. Yeah, but basically the gist of Ava's story is that back in September, they had been dating for like 4 months, right?
Yes, there was a non-serious period of like a year, and then by his demanding and begging, there was a serious period for 4 months until he decided he could not. Oh. the abridged version for me is that and he made it seem like it was incredibly serious with a lot of flashy words and stuff. So if people are telling you that they love you and they want to be with you for the rest of their life right away, maybe think about it. match their actions, think about that too.
Right.
And, but you know, I was in a vulnerable place where it was the first time I was doing something of that serious like caliber after a similarly serious relationship. And it was the first time I let myself do it with the wrong person. And he, you know, touted himself as this person he wasn't. And he was really just very mature. And I've gone into in the previous episode, he has like some issues, I think. I was very disturbed by him at the time. So I thought he was kind of almost like sociopathic because there was just so little remorse for humans' feelings, but I digress. But he was caught on Tinder by Emily and there was just a fallout for a little period after that. But we have similar phrases with me and Teresa's exes where it was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. You know?
Yes. Like blaming it on their like either mental health or just like that they like, at least not like putting it on us, but like saying like, oh, I'm going to change. Like, I'm going to get help. I'm going to do anything I can to get you back. And like, I'll see a therapist and I'll work on myself. And I feel like those are pretty typical things though, to say.
Right.
If you,
well, this is tricky because there are people, I don't believe that there are people that are unfaithful that can't have divorce and can't have a rehabilitation with their partner. I think that happens. I think that's a thing that you can go through. I do think that if you're with people like me and Teresa, where Teresa had her own set of red flags, as she said, like that you had cheating scares before. I watched my own red flags happen when we weren't serious. I witnessed them myself and I ignored it. And I mean, Emily can attest, she watched them with me and she was like, what? Like that whole time. So I think that it's a matter of also just kind of looking what's in front of you. If what's in front of you is a committed partner that slipped, then that's a different.
Yeah. But if it's like repeated, I remember one of my coworkers after this happened, she said like, there wasn't really a time when I like thought about getting back together with him, but she said like once a cheater, always a cheater. And that's like a very typical phrase, but I feel like it really means a lot. Like, one, like in my relationship my past relationship, there were like definitely several times that not physically, but like, what's the word? Like talking to other girls. Maybe it was physically, I don't know, but, just like knowing that if it happens once, it could happen again, unless they like take the proper steps to actually work on themselves. But in this situation, it like happened again and again and again and again, without any sort of like fix of anything.
If someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yeah.
It's going better because in a way, like if you cheat once, the situations can like vary so much. I think if you exhibit behavior like that and you cheat once.
Well, it was a lot.
Yes.
There were a lot of red flags.
There's
just the one thing. It's like so many things. And that's usually the case, I feel.
Maybe we should talk about red flags.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some red flags you both experienced?
I remember there was a time, it was like the first year that we were together, like Easter. It was on Easter and I was with my whole family and he was there. I remember he was on his phone and he was on Snapchat and I like saw him like talking to a girl, which like I'm not like gonna control like who he talks to or whatever, but I was like, oh, who's that? Like, is it like a colleague or something? Like, I'm just like genuinely curious, like, who is that? And he was like, oh, it's no one. And like took his phone and like shut it off and like put it to the side. Like,
good job.
Well, that's suspicious.
Discreet. Yes.
And that I feel like that was like the start of, and then it turned into like this thing. Like that was probably my first red flag. And I like genuinely took like several days after where I was like, I don't know if I should be with this person. Like that was very sketchy of them to do. Also in front of my entire family, like everyone, it was just like very embarrassing. And it ended up being like, I think some either rando or just like someone that he was talking to. But like, that was the start of just constantly like putting his phone upside down and like being very secretive about things on his phone. I remember there was one of his friends reached out to him in, I think it was the first year of us dating, because we dated for about 2.5 years. She reached out to him while I was there because like you wouldn't expect someone to, but like it had to do with Tinder. And so you wouldn't expect someone that's in like a relationship that they're friends with to be like, oh, your account, like I was on Tinder and your account came up. And he was like, oh, well, I must not have like deleted it, or maybe it was on like some mode that it just like came up, but not, like I didn't go on it. Like it must have just been up there. I must have just forgot to change it. And then like Ava, like you were saying the other day, you can't do that. Like that's not how Tinder works.
We'll stop here, ladies. So if a guy tells you, and I don't even just mean a guy, anyone, if anyone tells you that their Tinder just came up,
not possible.
No, it does not just come up.
You swipe it on that Tinder for it to come up. So if someone's saying that, that's a red flag, ladies.
Actually, there's like a thing on Tinder too now, and I haven't been on for like, I don't even know how many months, but the last time I was on, they had this feature that literally said recently active next to someone's name. So like,
that's amazing.
You really can't hide.
You cannot hide.
But if you're being shown in the piles of people or whatever you want to call it, in the cards,
that means
like,
you want to be shown. That's how Tinder works.
Right. You're like active.
You're active. On Tinder.
Yeah.
And just believe them. Like just believe the person. Like it took me several times, like several things building up for me to actually like believe it. Cause it's so easy to just think like, that can't be real. Like, I know this person, like I care about them so much. Like they couldn't do this, but they can easily do that. Like it is so easy for people to do that without you thinking that they could ever do that.
And you were really young.
Yeah. I was in college. Yeah. So this first, we started dating when I was in college. He was out of school, or out of college, had a full-time job. And I was only 19. No, was I? I think we started maybe 20. I was either 19 or 20. No, sorry, I was 21. Can't remember what age I was. I was 21, newly 21. But like, I was still in college. I was going to be student. I was about to student teach when like we started talking and stuff. And it was just like it happened very quickly. And he was this older guy that was out of college and like had a job that looked great. And I feel like I felt older, like being with him. So in my head, I was like, well, obviously he's older, he's mature, he knows what he's doing, like all of this, but obviously not.
Age is just a number.
Yeah.
And especially guys in their 20s.
It's oh, like, my God, yeah.
It doesn't really matter if they're, like, 22 or 29. It's like, I've gone on dates with people, like, probably across any age in the 20s, and it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah. Another, like, kind of funny red flag. I remember this was, like, the fourth date that we went on. We went bowling, and it was like very early on in the relationship. So in my head, I was still like trying to figure out if I wanted to like keep going on dates. But I remember randomly he started telling me about like all the people that he has hooked up with. And like, that's like pretty normal in a relationship, but usually like a while in to like talk about like your past and stuff. But it was very much like, this is so weird, but like, I've slept with MILFs and I've slept with moms and I've slept with like all these older women. And I was like, okay, it's good for you, but I don't know why you're telling me this right now. Like intimate stories about like him like going home with these like older women with like children. And like, all these red flags that just like, I don't know how I ignored.
I think that's a good thing to talk about though, is it's easy to ignore red flags, and mm-hmm. it's hard because when you say them in hindsight, it's hard to think about how you were able to ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's good to tell people that it is easy to ignore them, because the people that are having them right now, like maybe they'll think about it a little bit more, because your first red flag, I laughed because I was like, oh my God. I just remembered my own that was like exactly the same idea, where I was like, I wasn't with my family, but I saw his phone and it was a notification. And I don't know of anyone who has this kind of Instagram notification, but it was like some Instagram notification, and this was a while ago, so maybe it's in a different update, but it showed the picture of the post of someone's new post, and it was some girl, like it was just like a selfie, like a sultry selfie of this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like if I
he
see
was
it,
getting updates from
yeah
her?
Yeah, like,
oh
well,
was
it was
like
an Instagram like notification that she had posted.
Yeah, so he like subscribes to her.
Yeah.
Or like asks for notifications for her specifically.
Correct.
okay
I saw this on his like notification drop down thing, and I was like, you know, the fuck. But I obviously didn't freak out, but I was just like, why is that there? And he, you know, just kind of played this narrative that he just followed a bunch of these girls on Instagram before we were dating, and he just doesn't want to go unfollow all of them. And I'm like, you could turn off the notification for it. And it was a weird conversation that I totally forgot about until that moment. So that's,
yeah.
So like, if you see people, anyone, girl, boy, non-binary, whoever, if they're on their phone and they're seeing people and you're in a monogamous relationship and their excuses are like kind of along these lines, it might be a red flag.
Yeah. Or like hiding their phone, or like just being secretive and like sneaky. Like there's absolutely no reason, unless you're like planning a surprise party or something, to be sneaky in a relationship. Like there's just no reason.
And I don't mean hiding their phone like they just want privacy to text someone back and it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, don't like
yeah.
phones, like I get that, but I mean like they're like, get away from my phone, don't worry about it, like
yeah.
And I think that what's hard about red flags is you want so much to believe that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to jump to this conclusion that's basically in your mind the worst one, but if it starts to add up, don't wait until your friend tells you that they saw him on
TikTok. Yes. And it's way easier. Obviously, hindsight is way easier, but it's also like, it seems so hard in the moment. Like when you get all these red flags, at least for me, I was like, I don't think I'll ever find like someone else. Like I have to go through all of this again, like being single. Like there's just so many like things in your head that play through of reasons why you shouldn't. But once you're actually out of the relationship, yes, it's like hard for a little bit, but it also is way healthier and way better in the long run, because you won't get hurt even more down the road if you end up staying with that person. And there's just way healthier relationships out there than a relationship with red flags.
Yeah. And I think that's another point we've kind of missed, was Teresa was with this person way longer than I was with my person we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said, I vibe with from my previous relationship before that. Cause yours was like 5 years, right?
No, mine with my ex was 2.5.
Oh, 2.5.
Yeah.
So I had like a 5-year one too. So I felt that with that one where it was like, I'll never find someone again. And if you start a relationship around 19, 20, 21, and it goes for at least like a year or so, it feels like that if it's going to end. And it's not the case. You're so young still, and there's a lot that you're going to figure out and that you haven't experienced. It took me until I was 27 years old to experience like a really functional relationship. And sometimes people don't get that until they're like even older than that. So
right. You
don't
could
be
like,
afraid.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, have my own like dating stories, nothing along the lines of you guys, but it's like I've seen so many red flags and just like cut it off. And it's like, that's hard, because if you like certain things about the person, you don't want to like ignore the good things. You don't want to like only see the bad, but if the red flags are there and they're big enough, I mean, you have to see that.
Yeah.
And
trust
like,
your gut.
Trust your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to if you're getting gaslighted, which we could start talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know we wanted to talk a little bit about like what gaslighting is and what it is in a relationship specifically. Would you like to give us a definition?
I don't know. I don't have a like specific definition, but gaslighting is when someone is manipulating someone. The term comes from a movie called Gaslight, where I don't know if you guys know that.
I didn't know that.
Gaslighting actually comes from this older movie called Gaslight. And in the movie, there is a man who's with this woman and convincing her she's insane for things that are real, but it's for his own agenda to make her feel like she's insane. So it's basically, it's not just for a man and a woman. It can be any two people or any number of people, but it's a person for their own agenda and gain, making someone else and manipulating someone else to think that they're wrong or insane for things that are true and they don't want to be found out. So for example, if when I found my person on Tinder, he, you know, was like, that's incredibly crazy. There's no way that happened. I don't even have a Tinder, you know, lying, or it can be very, very extreme, and it's very damaging because you do start to believe that you start to believe that, oh, I'm the problem, I am insane, oh, you second guess every single thing that you feel in your gut, you second guess every single thing that you're experiencing with this person, and they get to kind of do whatever they want and brush it off. So it's really a damaging, manipulating thing. And it's common, but it's also tricky. So sometimes it's not perceived correctly, but it is common. It happens with like a lot of victim blaming. It happens with abuse victims. It's just a tactic for people to use against people for bad stuff.
Yeah. And what exactly, like, because I think there was definitely gaslighting with my past relationship, but I think it was smaller. But Ava, like what kind of things did your past relationship do that were considered gaslighting?
I feel like, so I think that it could be said that just saying things like, that's crazy, I would never do that. Just the general like conversation. It's hard to remember. I get really mixed up with my first relationship because there was a lot of that in that one. Which is not really the conversation, and that was just like a whole thing. But there's a lot with, I think, women where it's like you're being emotional, you're being hysterical, you're being ridiculous, you know, you're just being anxious and paranoid. Why would you say that?
I feel like the paranoid one happens a lot. Like, you're just being paranoid. You're looking too much into things, stuff like that.
I mean, this person that is what we're talking about that I've experienced stuff with just recently, someone having experiences with the same person came forward and messaged me about it because of our first podcast and recognized that, maybe you're in, long story short, he was talking to me about it and he would tell her that, no, like I had never, he had never cheated on me and we ended things totally fine. Like he told his
friends
and we're friends on good terms. So it's like blatant lying and just skewing a situation into making them think that they're absolutely crazy and got it all wrong. And then you second guess everything that you're hearing and seeing. I can't think of a really good specific right now from my experience.
I mean, just like when you called him out for being on Tinder and he immediately was like, no, there's no way that could have happened. And the thing is, like, what if I wasn't the one that told you? What if it was, or what if you were a different way? I mean, you were always going to believe me. You were always going to, like, understand. And you knew that Tinder, like, we looked it up.
Yeah,
like,
I'm the mother of a lawyer. I'm not going to. I mean, I'm the daughter of a lawyer. I'm the daughter of a lawyer. I'm not going to, you know, fold if he's like, well, that's not possible. I haven't been on that app. So it goes from that to, but she did see you. Why would that have happened? I have no idea. Maybe it's because I didn't delete my account and it's still active. But why would the card come up? It says it wouldn't come up unless you would have swiped. Well, I did go on, but I just wanted to delete it and this. Oh, well, this doesn't make sense though, because you still would have had to swipe on Tinder. And it wasn't until I stopped like talking that he was like, oh, well, I lied. Yeah, I did do it. But it was just this. And it's just sort of, I wouldn't even call that gaslighting. I think that's just kind of like lying.
Yeah.
But next level of like it makes you feel like you're out of your mind. That's like next level.
I think like a lot of gaslighting is making you question your own like sanity and like your own decision making and your own thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's like total manipulation and like that in itself. And I feel like even what you're saying with that is kind of considered gaslighting, just because it's making you question, like, am I actually like thinking about that? Like, is this actually true? Like questioning yourself.
I think like a good version that isn't even tied to us experience specifically would be like, if I said to Emily something like really horrible and she would say like, why would you say that to me? Like, and then I was like, what do you mean? I didn't even say it.
It
like
wasn't that, yeah.
And it would just become like, what? Like, and it's just like abuse. And you, and people, you know, if you're in a relationship, and this does not, by the way, listeners, this does not have to be a romantic relationship.
Oh, no.
There are all kinds of relationships, platonic, familial, social, any kind, that include gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And you can get to a point with those kinds of people where you are incredibly paranoid around everyone. And second guessing yourself about everything. And it can be really demeaning and damaging to your mental health. So being able to recognize it is really, really hard. It's not a matter of your worth or your skill. It's just like, you're not meant to. So if you have experienced it and you're still dealing with that and you're having trouble with it, I suggest therapy, because it's really hard to deal with the aftermath of gaslighting without therapy, because you don't, your mind needs recalibration.
Yeah. Even like going into a different tangent, like going from a relationship to another relationship after being cheated on is very difficult. Like there are times in my current relationship that it's a lot better now, but like I had to really work on like trusting someone else in a relationship and not assuming that they're like sneaking around on their phone. And like, also therapy helps a lot with that. Like just being able to trust yourself and trust another person in a relationship again, from going from that, a super toxic past relationship.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in therapy, like,
yeah,
all. I mean, it's
yeah,
a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, for you, especially like going from that situation and, you know, whatever works for whatever you need to do, you know, mm-hmm. in a better headspace.
Yeah. Talking to someone else helps a lot with it. Yeah. I'm a big advocate for therapy. I think that just everyone should go at some point. It's just really helpful in general.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we've, again, experienced the similar thing. I was just having a problem today with my current partner about that very thing where it's,
yeah,
just, it's a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and I've had experience with this in other capacities. So it's a trauma that if you've had a lot of experience with it, along with gaslighting and that kind of manipulation, it's really hard to not copy paste it onto mm-hmm. the next. Because the things that this current person will say to you that is genuine, you can easily be like, well, the first time I heard these kind of things, I thought yes. they were genuine, and then I was not. So yes. why would this be genuine? Why should you trust this for yourself? Why should you feel this way about this? And it could go on, and it's a spiral, and it is really hard to escape if you don't have the tools to do it. So I think
yeah.
I have experienced stuff like this. Yes, like therapy is so incredibly helpful. Like sharing with your partner about the trauma of it is really...
Oh, yeah. I think that definitely sharing with your... If you've gone through that in the past, sharing with your current partner, because I typically they'll be way more understanding than you think that they will be. And just like very patient, and if you're in like a new healthy relationship, like being patient and understanding, and like it's just all around good to communicate that to someone.
I can't comment on so I'm gonna ask both of you guys a question about like what your, if you had to say like, and this is, I always ask like hard broad questions, but like, what would you say your biggest takeaway from that bad relationship for each of you would be? And like advice to your, if you had to like give yourself advice, is that the, like, is that a thing? Yeah. If you would like
yeah.
advice, like in the moment.
Or in the past. Like
from the bad, no.
Or give your younger self advice, give your like past self.
Yeah. Like it's like one of those questions. Like, I guess I'm asking two questions, but like, yeah, like what's your biggest takeaway from that like bad relationship, and like what advice would you give that self in that relationship, like during the darkest time, like what would you say mm-hmm. to that person that you were?
I think that I would tell myself a relationship isn't supposed to be this hard. Like you shouldn't have to put this much, not energy, because you should, like, a relationship takes a lot of energy, but you shouldn't be putting this much, like, bad energy, if that makes sense, like, fear and sadness and, like, second-guessing yourself into a relationship, because that's just not what a healthy relationship is. So I think just realizing that, like, looking back, I wish that I knew that it shouldn't be that hard. And of course, like relationships take a lot of work, but they don't take that much work and that much like mental energy and that much, like, I don't know, like bad emotions going through it. Like it just shouldn't be like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say like, you know, love is hard. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. Like,
yeah,
you know, the people. And we talked about this before, like, what exactly is sacrifice in love, and like what does love look like in a relationship? If you thought it was, you know, what it was when it was bad, you know, like how do you learn what it really
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like learning.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think like I'm grateful that I had that, because I feel like I learned what I don't want in a relationship, and I learned like what I now want and expect in a future and current partner, and how I feel like I built myself up to not take anything less than what I deserve from that relationship, from my current relationship. Yeah.
Good.
I think I would say about the same thing. I think that along the same lines where, you know, again, don't completely distrust your gut, mm-hmm. because I can say for both of my big relationships, all of the most traumas I've had, my gut was telling me the whole time that something wasn't completely right. So if you're forcing something at any point, like if there's red flags, like he didn't get you a birthday present.
It happened.
Like your family really doesn't like him and he's really not.
Yeah. Trust your family and friends. Sorry. Total like interjection there. Because we talked about this. Trust your family and friends if they do not like them. Like, that is a huge thing.
They're not being jerks. They just are awake. Okay? And you're asleep.
They're the outside perspective. They're not in it. Mm-hmm. So they get to say that.
And
they
think,
know.
I think it's hard because if you have family and friends like mine, then they don't come outwardly and disrespectfully like, this is bad and I hate him. Like, I have family and friends that are not that forward about it, which I appreciate, but it's also, I didn't hear it that much in the way I probably needed to. So make sure that if they don't like him and aren't completely in your face about it, that that's a thing. Like, that is a thing that you should listen to. But I think the whole love thing too, like, I can say this about, again, both of these relationships I've experienced. Love is portrayed in media and things that we consume since we're the age of zero. Like, it is everything. And at a certain point, yeah, like, love is everything in different capacities. But when it comes to like a romantic relationship, if you love someone and it's like enough, that's kind of a hoopy doody. And it's really not true. Okay. Love is not everything if they're not actually supplying you with the action that means they love you. Like, it if they're just saying they love you over and over, that's not the same thing, and it's not necessarily enough. So don't just romanticize it like, well, I'll stick this out because we love each other and it's hard and that's romantic. That's not romantic. It's dysfunctional and toxic, and it's not supposed to feel like that. So yeah, I think I definitely just agree with Teresa's sentiments mostly.
Mm-hmm. And relationships always, or don't always look like the movies.
Yeah. No, they rarely do. Mm-hmm. They rarely do. They're actually usually, if it's pretty functioning, it's just kind of normal and easy. Like, it should just, like.
Yeah. I feel like it's very just like, not, what's the word? Like calm and like natural. Like, it shouldn't be like these huge highs and lows and like this huge like drama. All the time.
Okay, if you're apart, and you should feel okay if they have something going on, and it's just I think that when I met my current partner, we were both just like really sick of everything and just ready to be done with the dating thing. And so that also, when you get into that point with someone else, like, you'll feel it. You're just both just settling, and it's not like it's boring. Mm-hmm. It's an annoying thing about society's view of, like, it has to be so volatile and passionate, or it's boring and there's nothing left and you'll just grow old and be unhappy. And it's like, not true.
You don't want, like, I mean, it has to be a balance. Like, it has to be not like,
like, you can be crazy about each other, for sure. You can be like full of love for each other, mm-hmm. and you could be totally like, you know, lustful, whatever, but it's not, mm-hmm. it's not like like massive drug addiction all the time.
And it's not like, I feel like it's right in the middle. Like, it shouldn't be like that you don't have anything to talk about ever and you just ignore each other, but it shouldn't be that you're like constantly crying and you're constantly like getting into arguments and stuff. It like needs to have a, like you said, like a balance right in the middle of all of that.
I think that my first relationship, the one we aren't supposed to be talking about, I had very little, like, outward affection. Like, that person just, it's not in him. He just didn't want to be very touchy-feely all the time. And it was, like, a thing from the start that I needed that affirmation as an individual. So it was always, like, I remember me just constantly pining for confirmation that I was loved, and it led into all the other problems. But then this relationship that we're actually talking about was such an issue in my brain because he was giving me all the stuff I didn't have, but it was actually just an act to get what he wanted all the time. You know, it was like just to put me in the box he wanted me in, but it worked because he knew, like, it worked on me. Like, I loved having the love expressed physically and verbally. But then if he's not doing things other than that or supporting you in other ways, then it's just empty, like empty.
Yeah. Like you said, there has to be action. Like, you can have all of that and have like a very, like words of affirmation and like physical relationship, but you have to have the actions to support that. You can't just have the words.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you guys have both found much better relationships. Thank goodness. Thank
yeah.
That was my hope for you when I sent that initial message. And it's cool to see this mm-hmm. come full circle and have you on the podcast. Like, I just think it's the coolest thing ever that that we can do this podcast and you can share your story and Ava can share hers, and that you guys are both in better places. Because I, you know, I was talking to Ava about this, and it's like, if I had reached out to you like a year ago and been like, do you want to be on the podcast? Not that I had a podcast a year ago, but I was, you know, I think mm-hmm. you would have been in a different headspace and probably not ready to share all of this. Yeah. And even Ava a year ago, like, you know, not quite in the same,
yeah.
same spot. So, you know, I just think like the timing worked perfectly to do this episode, and I hope that it can reach some other people out there who might be in similar situations, or maybe not. Maybe you're just in a relationship with a lot of red flags, or you're being gaslit. Is that what you would say?
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe yeah. it resonates with you in some way, and our hope for you would be that you you know, hear this podcast and realize something from it. And
yeah, and if it does resonate and you decide that this is a little weird, and I would suggest first bringing it up with your partner, and then if that doesn't really work out, that's a red flag in itself, maybe, depending on how it goes. And
mm-hmm.
throughout all of it, I would say just talk to your friends and your family if you have that. Talk to someone that you know you have trust in their opinion, and try to hear them out and set your feelings aside, because it's really hard to transition yeah. and process these things, but it will get easier. But you got to kind of make that first leap and rip the band-aid off. So
mm-hmm. yeah, and trust your gut, like trust yourself, because I feel like you know yourself and you know the relationship better than anyone. And yes, it's going to be sucky and hard and like won't be fun, but it'll be way better afterwards. And even a year later, it'll be wonderful.
Here you are to share your story and show that there's hope out there, and you won't be alone forever. If
yeah,
you break
if someone's
up.
Making you feel like they will never, that you will never have anyone else after them. If someone's making you feel like you'll be alone without them, or get the hell
yeah.
out. Because
big red flag.
Because you won't be, and you don't need that person. And if anyone's making you feel like you're inadequate, that's just not worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
No. Or maybe you're listening and you're
in a great relationship.
Or you're in a great relationship.
So congrats. I'm so happy for you. You know, thanks for listening.
Yeah, this was so much fun. So thank you again, Teresa. Thank you for Ava coming back, being a third time guest.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. Oh my goodness. So great. So tune in next week for a whole new episode. Thanks, everyone.